certainly did not do justice to the totality of the scuff of Shabbos, but this forum, all things must come to a certain pause, it's not an end. So I wanted to begin to discuss some topics that are more relevant to the Yamim Tovim and the Yom Neroim and Chodesh Tishrei. And to start with continuing our theme of Tamei HaMitzvos, although as we already noted that pretty much everything you want to talk about could fit into that topic. to focus on the central mitzvah that takes place on Rosh Hashanah, which is of course at Kiya Shofar. As the Rabbi Welcher Shlita once pointed out in what I like to call the press conference in the Shal Shudis, that usually the halachas of any particular topic and hashkafos, or to a certain extent the tamei hamitzvos of it, usually go in tandem. He actually said it in a forum where it seems that they seem to diverge from each other. But the norm is that normally the details of the halacha parallel the details of the hashkafa. And I think we might have quoted earlier the words of Rabbi Soloveitchik, that whereas, especially some of the Rishonim, the primary emphasis in terms of giving reasons for mitzvos were focused primarily on the broad themes of the mitzvah, just the generalities of the mitzvah. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim, for example, even notes that when I give reasons for mitzvah, so don't ask me to explain every detail of the mitzvah, because that's not my goal. And he explains why, he gives a reason that's somewhat difficult to understand, but he admits that he's trying to just give reasons for the generalities of the mitzvah. And Rabbi Soloveitchik, by contrast, felt that that's the more complete approach to arriving at correct reasons for mitzvahs is those that dafka take into account the details. And he said when you start with the generalities, so you run the risk of superimposing some other system of thought upon the mitzvah rather than building from within, bottom-up fashion, taking what the mitzvah says by its details and then trying to reconstruct the messages from it through that. So, taking that theme in mind, to start from a fascinating detailed halachic analysis of the mitzvah shofar, and then perhaps to suggest how the various reasons that have been proposed can be seen in light of that halachic discussion. The mitzvah of shofar, just by its very nature, consists of two components. It has a component of tekiah, of blowing, and it has a component of shmiah, of listening. And it's clear that the halacha indicates that both of those components are necessary, because if, for example, if someone made a tape recording of tekiah shofar and then just played it on Rosh Hashanah, say on a Shabbos clock, whatever, so clearly one would not be Yotze. It has to be someone blowing the shofar. And not only that, it has to be someone. There are halachos of the blowing, meaning it has to be a kosher shofar, even though the same sound is produced, but it has to be from the correct species of animal. It has to have, in terms of various halachas of holes in it and splits in it that are discussed at length by the Mishnayos and the Gemaras and Rosh Hashanah and the Shulchan Aruch. And if a kosher shofar is not used, then it's the mitzvah is not fulfilled. Furthermore, the shofar has to be blown by a bar chiyuva. Has to be blown by someone who is obligated in that mitzvah, which would exclude a non-Jew. Dizzy Gillespie. Even though he probably would do a better job than most Baalei Tekiah, but he wouldn't be able to motzi the kohol unless he converted first. So it also excludes ketanim or under bar mitzvah, and even someone who's just bar mitzvah. The halacha normally is on a Torah commandment. We don't just rely on the fact that the person has reached the age of 13. Even though generally we assume that along with reaching the age of 13, he also has reached physical maturity. But since there's no real testimony about his physical maturity, so even though we normally assume that they'll go hand in hand, but when it comes to a Torah commandment, we don't rely on that norm. And therefore, in order to be a Baal Tokeya, unless it's some kind of Shaset Chak, you'd really need someone who has a beard, or someone who has reached the age by which he would grow a beard, even if he's clean-shaven. So that's one of the halachos as a protection for the fact that you need a gadol. And also, since, although it has been the practice, I would suggest, since the times of Har Sinai, for women to volunteer the mitzvah of Tzkiyah Shofar or Shmiyah Shofar, but since they're not obligated in the mitzvah of the blowing of the shofar, so therefore a woman cannot serve as a balas tokas, I guess you would say. But I guess you don't have that word in the vocabulary, because they can't be one to exempt the other people and to help fulfill their commandment. So there clearly is a tekiah component of the mitzvah, both in terms of the object itself and in terms of the nature of the person who's blowing it. But there's also a component of shmiyah, of hearing. Because if one just blows the shofar and either has earplugs, or if the person is deaf, or, as the Mishnayos and Rosh Hashanah elaborate, that if one blows in a fashion whereby one is not hearing the sound of the shofar itself, but rather is hearing an echo, then one is not yotzei. That's the whole sugya of tokeil toch habor, one who blows into a pit. An interesting discussion about taking that Mishnah as a prototype to then discuss the laws of microphones. Should we say that microphones have, whenever you need some kind of call, some kind of sound, should we say that that's not a human voice? Or should we say, as Ramosha wrote, that since a human voice is also transmitted through science of the world, through sound waves, so too, the fact that you introduce an electric component shouldn't change it. That's a machlokis, and we're not going to get involved in that, but that's all based on Tzkiyah Toch Habor. So how to put these two together is a famous dispute in the Rishonim. Because it's generally assumed that one of them is the primary theme and the other one is a condition. In other words, either we should say, the mitzvah is to hear the shofar. But you have to hear a shofar. So in order to hear a kol shofar, the sound of a shofar, it has to be a certain object and it has to be blown by a certain person. And the object has to have certain qualities. And then you have created what we call a kol shofar. And the mitzvah is to hear the kol shofar. Or in the halachic terminology, the mitzvah is to hear. The tnai of the mitzvah, the condition to make sure that you have heard the right sound, is to make sure that it's a kosher object and it's blown by the right person. The other way to put it is that the mitzvah is to blow. But a condition of making sure that you fulfill the mitzvah to blow is that you have to hear that blowing. So this has been debated at length by the Rishonim and the Achronim, and one of the forums in which that comes up is what bracha you make on the blowing of the shofar. Because interestingly, the Baal HaMor suggests that the Gemara never instituted a Gemara. Originally there was no bracha for the blowing of the shofar, because they used to blow in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, as we still do, but we now blow it beforehand as well. And since they blew in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, so the bracha of the Shemona Esrei served as the bracha for the shofar. So that's why the Mishnayos never record a bracha for the shofar. But nonetheless, we know that you have to make a bracha, because we now blow the shofar out of the context of the Shemona Esrei as well. We call it Kiyas Mishnah. What bracha do you make? So the Gemara never says, the Sefta never says. So it's left to the Rishonim to try to plug into the rules of brachos to come up with a bracha. So since most of the Rishonim assume, the Rambam and most of the others as well, and this is the way we paskin, rule that we say l'shmoa kol shofar, to hear the sound of the shofar. And there was a significant minority opinion of Rabbeinu Tam and others who said that the mitzvah is l'tkoa shofar or al tekiya shofar. So it's generally assumed that they're arguing about what is the primary section of the mitzvah. Is it the mitzvah to blow, or is it the mitzvah tkiyah, mitzvah shmiyah? And others maintain, as Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested, I believe, that even Rabbeinu Tam agrees that the primary component is the mitzvah to hear. It's only the secondary component to blow, but Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion that that brachos are made on the maisa mitzvah, the actual physical activity that you do. So the only physical activity that one does with Kiyas Shofar, hearing is a passive activity, is the blowing. But he agrees the primary component is the hearing. So this is something that plays itself out with a variety of indications, one way or the other, in the Gemaras and the Rishonim, as to whether the primary mitzvah is the Shmiyah, the Tkiyah, or a combination of both. And simply speaking, how are you Yotzei the Shmiyah? By hearing. You Yotzei Shmiyah by hearing. I'm not doing it vicariously through the Baal Tokeya. I hear myself. I can't have someone else hear for me. How are you Yotzei the blowing? So if you assume that the blowing is really secondary, just that you have to create a kol shofar, so I don't really have to be yotzei the blowing, I just have to be yotzei the hearing. But if you assume that the blowing is more of a primary component, or it's a secondary component that you yourself have to do, so then perhaps it operates, as some of the achronim suggest, based on the principle of shlichus. Shlucho shalom kamosu. He's an agent. I do blow, correct, but he is my agent in blowing.
So it's not a miserable goof then, if it's a kibishle.
Right. According to that analysis, right. If you assume that it's a just shmiya, so then you could say it's a mitzvah gufo. Your ears have to hear. If you assume that it's a tkia as well, that you have to be yotzei, and you could use a shliach, so then it wouldn't be a mitzvah gufo. It wouldn't be like tefillin. It would be a mitzvah that you can't fulfill with the shlichus. Everyone agrees that you can have a baal tokeah, and that you have to hear it. The question is how to put all those two together. So what I wanted to suggest is that those two ideas, the idea of tekiya and the idea of shmiya, represent two themes, broad themes in the Rishonim and the Achronim, in attempting to try to uncover some of the reasons for tekiya shofar. Again, we keep in mind our introductory remarks based on the words of the Rambam, Matyana Hilchos Me'ila, and many others, that ultimately tekiya shofar is a gzeiras hakasev. The Rabbanu Shalom did not reveal the reason. But nonetheless, part of Talmud Torah, and also in terms of enhancing the kavanas and the mitzvah, it's instructive to analyze what some reasons might be by seeing certain patterns of where shofar appears, and so on and so forth. So it appears that, broadly speaking, the reasons fall into two. Those that relate to some idea of awakening, meaning that it's meant to remind us of some theme, whether just as a sampling, whether it's the theme of tshuva, or the theme of Hashem's kingdom, or the theme of the coming of Mashiach, or the theme of Har Sinai, so on and so forth. Or it's meant to be where we are doing an action that's meant to it's meant to fulfill a certain precept, or a certain additional concept, other than just the blowing of the shofar. So it appeared to me that it's exactly these two sub-themes that the Rishonim debate in halachic terms. Those same two ideas come up in hashkafic terms. Tekiah is an active activity. That's pretty redundant, an active activity. So it's where you're not just being passive, where you're listening to something, but you're actually doing something. And even though most of the kohol are not doing anything, but that's what you see in the achronim that many maintain. I think it starts from the Kapis Tmorim, which is the Yom Teruah, one of the famous achronim, from the Maram Chaviv, if I'm not mistaken, on Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And others say this as well, that, yeah, but we're acting through agency, right? There are mitzvahs that are mitzvahs of action, but you could fulfill them through agency. So there is an action. Where Shmi, on the other hand, is passive, where you're the recipient of something. So just going through the Machzorim, so the article Machzor translates into English, quotes from Rasadigon, which in turn I think is recorded in the Avadrom. I'm not sure if it's where in the writings of Rasadigon it appears, but they say that Avadrom records them. He gives 10 reasons for the mitzvah shofar. So one of them is that it's we blow the shofar to coronate the king. Just like they blow trumpets in order to coronate the king, so too, every Rosh Hashanah, we reawaken our allegiance to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we declare Him as our King. In the Sunday, Thursday slot, when discussing Kriya Shema, so we suggested that Rosh Hashanah is like a day that's devoted to the theme of Kriya Shema, of Kabbalah Asal Malchus Shemayim. So that reason plugs into the theme, I would suggest, of Tekiah. So you have to be active. You have to proclaim the King. It's not enough for you to just hear the message. You are proclaiming that Hashem is the Melech. So the Baal Tokeah is doing it, and everyone else is being Yotzei through agency. But then, all the other 9 reasons seem to indicate some kind of idea of awakening an idea within us. So the awakening of an idea within us is more in tandem with the theme of Shmia, that you have to hear it. You have to hear the sound, and that's supposed to, in turn, remind you or awaken you to some theme. And he mentions that those themes are, those 9 other themes, are it's a call to tshuva, which the Rambam elaborates even more. He puts it in slightly different terms. There he says, just as a king may proclaim a period of amnesty before he punishes wrongdoers, so too the shofar blast proclaims, whoever wishes to repent, let him do so now. If not, let him not complain later. But the Rambam elaborates on that more, in the idea of how it's ultimately a call to tshuva. And then it says it's a reminder of Har Sinai, because the Kiyah Shofar was blown at Har Sinai. So Rosh Hashanah reminds us to renew our commitment to the mitzvah HaTorah, which were given at Har Sinai. It reminds us of the admonitions of the prophets that who warned us to return to Kodesh Baruch Hu. It reminds us to pray for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Also, tying into Pesukim and Tanakh that indicate how the shofar is like a symbolism of impending tragedy concerning the Korban Beis HaMikdash. It reminds us of Akedas Yitzchak. So here, it's interesting. I was reading through this quickly. It reminds us of Akedas Yitzchak, or reminds, so to speak, HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Akedas Yitzchak. So here it says, reminds us of Akedas Yitzchak, thus may our remembrances ascend before him for the good. So I'd rather turn it on its head and say that is stressing the theme of Tekiah. That's saying that we're blowing in order to, so to speak, remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of Akedas Yitzchak, even though he certainly remembers, but through our Ma'aseh Mitzvos he remembers. And that's what the Gemara Rosh Hashanah stresses that as well, that Mipneima, that one of the reasons that we blow with a shofar shel ayil, dafka rim, even though other forms of other animals are also kosher for shofar, is because it was a rim that was brought as a substitute for Kedis Yitzchak. So that seems to focus on the theme of Tekiah. Then it says it inspires a fear and trembling, as it says in the Pasuk, Hayita ka shofar ve'ir ve'lo yecharadu, that people not be afraid. That's the theme of Shemiah. It inspires fear. It reminds us of the Day of Judgment, the coming ultimate day of Yom HaDin that all will usher into Olam HaBo. It makes us yearn for the ingathering of the exiles, and in turn to modify our behavior to merit that day. And it reminds us of Tchias HaMeisim. So most of the themes, maybe the way we put it, 8 out of 10, focus on Shemiah, that some awakens some message within us. So just to expand upon one of them, the famous words of the Rambam in Perek Gimel Halach HaDalad, where he writes that Avav Bishat Kiyah Shofar Rosh Hashanah Gzeres HaKosev, even though it's a decree without reason that's revealed, Remez Yeshbor is an illusion, Koloma Ur Yishenim Yishenaschem. Awaken the you slumberers from your sleep, and Adamim Hakitzu Mitardimaschem, V'chapsum Atzeichem, seek out your actions, Chizru B'tshuva, return in tshuva, Zichru Borechem, and remember your Creator, Elo Ashochem Es Emes Ba'avli Azman, those who forget the truth as a result of the various relatively unimportant things in life, Shogim Kol Shenosam Behevel Rik, and they spend their life in folly, Yashel Lo Yo, it's not going to help them, Lo Yatzil, Habidu Anafshe Seichem, look into deeply into your souls, V'tivu Drachechem, and better your ways, Malechem, Yazuk Alechem Rem Darko Ro, Machshavto Ashel Lo Tov, and everyone should abandon their evil ways and return to good. So that's ultimately an expansion of Rav Sadia Goin's idea of the call to tshuva. What just hit me this year is that some of the themes focus on the theme of Shemiah. That's an awakening. That's a Shemiah-oriented reason. It awakens you to tshuva. You know, usually when you're putting away your towels and tefillin, you know, then suddenly you start blowing the shofar right before the Dabar Hashem Ori V'ishi, right? So then you realize that, you know, now it's time to get something more serious. But there are some themes that focus more on the theme of Tekiah. The famous analysis of Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal, it wasn't his original analysis, it was ultimately based on the Gemaras, and his great-grandfather, Beis Halevi, elaborated on it as well, and Rav Pinkus, in his own way, in the collected writings from his tapes, and in the Sefer on Yom Neroim also has this independently, that there's another very primary theme of shofar that focuses on Tekiah, and that is that shofar is a call to tshuva. Let me rephrase that, I said the wrong sentence. Is a not a call to tshuva, which focuses on Shemiah, which the Rambam stresses, but rather is a form of tefillah. It's a form of tefillah. And that's, in other words, in a certain sense, it's a tefillah without words. We spoke about this on a different occasion also, that we blow trumpets on a fast day or any time of tzara, which the Rishonim seem to have understood that is supposed to be accompanied with tefillah, because it's a form of tefillah without words. We daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu with words, And then we just cry out without words, help, we need help. And as Rabbi Soloveitchik suggested, based on the very short tefillah that the Gemara and Brachas records, when you don't have any time to daven, which the gist of which is, we need help, we're not sure how to ask for it, so please help. So, Tzorche Amcha Merubim V'datam Ktzora. Right, that the needs of our nation are many, and we don't exactly know how to ask, so we're just crying out to you. Much as a child, which is many of the, especially Sifri Chassidus point out, something we learn from a child, that a child doesn't know how to speak, just cries. So now it's up to the parent to figure out what's wrong. Diaper's wet, you're hungry, you're tired, you're cranky, you want to play a game, something. So here we call it HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something we learn from children, that sometimes we don't know exactly what it is that's going to inspire us to change, or what exactly needs change. Please, you listen to our cry, and help us do what's good in your eyes. Even though we're adults, but that, to a certain extent, we go back to that that childish state, in the positive sense, of realizing that with all of our intellects, we ultimately need the assistance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to guide us in our lives. So as such, we enhance the Rosh Hashanah davening directly with Tkiya Shofar. We blow in the middle of the Shemona Esrei. We don't do other mitzvahs in the middle of Shemona Esrei because they're not tefillah. Matzah is not tefillah. And lulav, although I had a thing that lulav is also tefillah, but okay, lulav is not as intensely tefillah. And shofar is primarily tefillah. So that's why we, after each bracha with words in the musaf, then we blow without words, in order to seal in that particular tefillah. And then later, a practice developed as a result of persecution, etc. We blow, and also because to be mivabel as a satan, so we blow before the davening. But the shofar's primary place is really in the context of tefillah itself.
So why did Ashkenaz do away with the blowing in the middle of the
No, we do, Chazar Es HaShatz.
Oh, Chazar Es HaShatz, right. not during the
right.
silence.
No, the debate of whether you should blow in the silence from Esther or not has its own dynamic, but everyone seems to be agreeing that it has to do with tefillah. I mean, one practical consideration of not blowing them during this confusion, that people are going to not necessarily be up to that section. But the fact that we blow in Chazar Es HaShatz, which is also a form of tefillah, also indicates the idea of tefillah. So which, again, we're just... What I wanted to add to that highlights the theme of tekiah, because that means you don't daven by listening. It's true that you could sometimes daven or offer a tefillah through shamea keone. When you hear kiddush, your yotze as if you recited it. But that's because it's as if you recited it, not just that you just have to hear the words of kiddush. So here too. That by the Baal Tokea blowing the shofar, it's as if we're blowing the shofar. In other words, it's as if we are offering that silent tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these dual themes, those themes of tefillah and also calling out HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember HaKadosh Yitzchak and the coronating him as the king, those themes highlight the theme of tekiah. All the other reasons that I've given, and I'm sure there are many more, highlight the theme of Shemiyah. I just wanted to conclude with one idea that highlights Shemiyah and the Rambam's idea of call to tshuva. We mentioned in the past, but probably bears review. And that is an idea I heard from Rav Volbi, Zech Tzarek Levracha, who recently passed away, but I had the opportunity to hear some shiurim from him when I was in the Grus Kollel, where he suggested that the way in which shofar serves as a call to tshuva is because what you have is a tkiah and a tkiah and a true in the middle. The tkiah symbolizes tmimus, or total shleimus sa'adam, the idea that a human being can be perfect. Teruah implies the state of chait, where the person is broken. And together with his being broken, so then the way he gets back is by having a lev nishbar, by having a broken heart, where he feels utterly not depressed, as the Sifri Chassidus stress, because depression doesn't get you anywhere. But he feels contrite, and he feels that he must change, and ultimately, through the process of tshuva, he goes back to becoming tamim. So I quoted the pasuk in Koheles, Lakim asas adam yosher, v'heim avikshu chishvonus rabim, that Hashem made man straight, he made him without sin, both in terms of Adam Arishin, and also in terms of an individual Jew who's born, is born without chatoim, and then as they go through life, they blow it, but they always have an opportunity to come back. So the tekiah shofar itself contains within it the whole process of tshuva. The foundation, where a person is basically given an opportunity of perfection, Failure, which is only a natural consequence of life, ain't sadik baris ashalay atzol yechta. Some people have small failures, some have big failures, but always the opportunity to be able to come back, all highlighting that theme of that wake-up call of tshuva that is the Rosh Hashanah begins for us. Just for a minute, just in closing, just off the record.